Welcome to the Fleur Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of September, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Now, my goodness, what an exciting day, but I will try not to belabor subscribers by talking too long about it. The big story, which I'm sure you're aware of, is that President Obama's strike, which he had somewhat reluctantly proposed, is, well, if not off the table, it's certainly not an immediate prospect. And this has led to another brisk rally in global stock markets. If you haven't been following all that news, the main reason for that is because of the Russian-led effort to persuade Assad to surrender his chemical weapons. Now, whether any of that will take place or not remains to be seen, and who they will be surrendered to and so on, but it's going to be batted around for a while, and what that has actually done is created havoc among people who had established short positions. Now, judging from what markets have done, quite a few of them had, and that's hardly surprising, since there was some advance warning that this strike was actually going to take place, and that it seemed to be an absolute dead certainty. Now, another interesting insight to that, for instance, I put my futures trades through IG Index, and they introduced a new feature a while back where they show these circular illustrations of the main positions that their clients are actually holding, and they go by size of position rather than the number of people participating. But looking at the stock market indices, or at least all the ones that I saw in the last couple of days, were heavily weighted in favor of short positions. Now, that would have been very right if the strike had gone ahead, and then, of course, become a contrary indicator. But as the strike has not gone ahead, it's become a contrary indicator much sooner. And incidentally, most of those positions are institutional. So we've got a lot of short covering that's going on, and obviously we've also got some opportunistic buying against this background, and it's driving markets higher here once again. There were some astonishing gains overall, and I'll run through some of them here for you. First, let's take the Asia Pacific region. Now, Japan was up 1.5%, and looks attractive here. Hong Kong up 1%. The Shanghai Composite Index up over 1.15%. And again, all gains. Everything's to the plus side here. South Korea up 1%. And get this, India up 3.8% here today. What an eyebrow raiser that is. That has been just the most volatile market in the last few months. And the currency has been strengthening against that background. Now, elsewhere, these are really worth seeing. Looks like among the ASEAN markets, I think we've got Singapore up 1.16%, Malaysia up over 1%, Thailand, good gain, but under 1%. But look at this, Indonesia, nearly 4%. The Philippines was also up 1.55%. In the European stock markets, the Euro Stoxx 50 index up 1.9%. Same with the French CAC, German DAX up 2%. And if I just look at a few more of these, Holland up 1.77%, Sweden 1.5%, Switzerland 1.3%. Now, Wall Street, which had such good gains yesterday, another solid performance here today, but the Dow was up 0.85 of 1%, and a little less for the S&P and the Nasdaq. But that's still an impressive performance on top of what we've already seen. Canada going in the opposite direction, but only down just under a quarter of a percent. Mexico with a good gain, 1.9% overall. Now, I think this can quite possibly run a little bit further, but I regard it as a short-term move in an overall choppy market environment overall. But some markets are clearly looking better than others. Wall Street is still holding that position. Japan, which I've often mentioned earlier in the year, was a top prospect for this year. Japan really is seeing no more than its first medium-term consolidation. And I think it's in the process of completing, or it's in the latter stages of this consolidation, so that it's now moving back up to the higher side. And I think that even in this in a choppy market environment, Japan is certainly capable of moving higher during the remainder of this year. Now, overall on markets, well, Owen and I have warned for some time that we were entering a more choppy period, and it's certainly been that. I think I've been careful to say that we were not looking for any bear markets of consequence. And of course, we were quite oversold just a week or so ago. And we're seeing, a fair amount of short covering and bargain hunting as I have already mentioned. Now, keep an eye on the war positions, because if I mean, the market can be smart in its interpretations of these policies, and it was quick to start to discount the delay in Obama's proposed strike, if not a complete cancellation of it. And it's been in and out of precious metals, with buying coming in when it looked like the strike was going ahead. But here today, for instance, we have seen silver down sharply. It's currently under just under 23, and that's dollars. Palladium is a little bit higher, but that hasn't been moving like gold and silver, as these sort of classic scare positions. Platinum's down as well. Gold clipped for over $23 here today. That's put bullion down to 1368. Now, all of these patterns, well, let's take platinum and silver and gold. I think those are the most interesting at this stage, but they all show rollovers, and this is at least a short to potentially medium-term end to that overall upward trend. So I think we're getting the pullback down into what I think will be a base extension phase, because we just had that sort of V bottom. In other words, a very sharp fall to the lows and then a spike upwards. And I think now we pull back as typically occurs. And you know, the pullback can be anything from about 20% to, in the outside examples, complete retracement of the whole rally and then sideways ranging phases. I expect a partial retracement, and if it holds most of the gains, then we will see the overall upward trend for gold and silver resumed over the medium term. If we get a very significant retracement, then it would take longer, of course. So as they pull back, they will become a little bit further. As they pull back, they will become more interesting in terms of long positions. Now, again, the US dollar, that tends to strengthen when people are concerned about global tensions. And even though the US would have been leading the attack on Assad's weapons, but the dollar has softened here. It's about unchanged or just up a tiny fraction on the dollar index. But most of these currencies are strong, particularly the Indian rupee, which had been so weak. Remember, it had that we were describing it as climactic selling action a couple of weeks ago. But that's strengthened further in here today. And really, all of those, I believe, I didn't check them all, but I think almost certainly all of those ASEAN currencies were firmer here today. And incredible volatility. Now, also today, the euro is a little firmer up to, against the dollar, up to 132.69. The Aussie dollar, 0.9314. Sterling, a little bit firmer, 157.33. So people are no longer wanting the dollar as a safe hedge. The long-dated government bond yields have picked up a bit. And I'll just put one of them up on the screen here. I'll look at the U.S. 10-year. That yield is pushed back up to 2.96 and a bit of change. And so the consistency, the rising lows shown on these daily charts indicate that people are still moving out of this government bond market. And the best case for a move back into it temporarily, this is only the beginning of the bear market in long-dated government bonds, but if we had had a difficult, tense situation in the Middle East, well, we do have that already, but if it had been exacerbated by the U.S. proposed military strike, that would have changed the outlook in the short term, I believe, for the long-dated government bonds. But that's not on the table at the moment. And what else is of real interest here? Well, again, the other war position that people would or had established that I've talked about quite a bit in recent weeks was the long positions in crude oil futures, and those were certainly a concern. But we've seen another pullback of over $2.25 here. That's brought the WTI, that's the US contract, down to 107.26, and the more important Brent is down to 111.43. Now, those are still high prices, but they're heading in the right direction here for at least the short term. So an energy cost crisis is off the table here for at least the moment. Industrial metals a little bit easier here today, but not heavy selling. I think those are basically in a support building phase overall, and I'm impressed by the strength of some of the resources producers that we have seen here very recently, including Australia being quite steady. And I actually opened a long position there, which as a trade, a medium-term trade, and that accompanies the other two positions that I have been holding, which are my long in the Nikkei. I put it on too soon, I think on the 1st of August, but that's now moving into profit ahead of the contract expiry on the 17th of this month. I'm likely to roll the position forward because it does look to me as if Japan, as I said earlier, is in the latter stages of its consolidation of gains. And again, this I think this is an important bull market. Now, I also have a China long in there as well. And I think that's covered most of the important points in here. What an interesting day. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.